mama told me to be happy, 'cause you don't always get what you want. Don't speak, you said I have your love, but not how much it will cost. Mama told me when I was a baby I'd love you, but I don't.
Anna lives a quiet and fairly comfortable life by herself in the suburbs of Sydney. A new family moves in next door. Anna quickly realises that the new neighbour's young daughter, Charlie, is being abused. Anna calls the authorities, but they don't seem to be able to act. And she begins to fear for Charlie's safety and for her own. So Anna takes matters into her own hands. She kidnaps Charlie and runs away to Mullumbimby. Promise is the new novel by Sarah Armstrong, and it asks you to consider, how far is it reasonable to go to protect a child? Sarah is talking to Skye Kirkham.
Sarah Armstrong, welcome to Books and Arts.
Thank you.
Sarah, who is Anna? Before we meet her, who is this person that takes such an extreme action?
She's a 36-year-old professional woman living in Sydney, and not very ambitious professional woman, it has to be said. And to a degree, she's adrift, and she's someone who doesn't want to cross that threshold to take that action. She doesn't want to initially, but things conspire, events all collide, and she feels obliged to. And I think there's all sorts of aspects to her personality that lead her to do that, and they're sort of revealed over the course of the book. But she's a fairly unremarkable woman in many ways. And look, I mean, all of my characters have something of me in them, and, you know, Anna definitely has aspects of me. I could see myself in her at times.
Was there then a particular story you saw, or an instance, a thought that brought you to this story, to explore this idea?
Yes, I read a story and saw some TV reports about a young boy, a two-year-old boy who died, and his mother was charged with his murder. And in one of the reports I saw, neighbours spoke about how they had reported him to community services. They'd been concerned about him and reported him. And then, of course, he died at the hands of his mother. And I put myself in the shoes of those neighbours. You know, I couldn't put myself really in the shoes of the boy or the mother, but I put myself in the shoes of those neighbours, and I thought, how would I feel if, you know, I was them and I'd really tried my best to get help to him, but help didn't come in a timely manner. And I thought, you know what, I would wish that I had just picked that child up and put him in my car and driven away. That's what I would wish. And that then, you know, I thought, well, that's a premise for a story. And, you know, I think there had been and there continue to be so many stories about children who are either badly injured or die at the hands of their carers or family. And I felt quite helpless about that, you know. And so I think in a way, by writing a character who takes a very decisive action to rescue a child, it was just my own way of grappling with those feelings.
Is that one of the benefits of writing fiction for you? Your background is in journalism, where if you were approaching the same story, you would just have to report on probably case after case that mimics the ones you've just been telling us about. But in fiction, there's almost a sense that you can do something about it.
Yeah, yeah. I think what I love about writing fiction is that I'm able to explore issues that are really close to me and that I feel passionately about. And I'm not always aware of exactly what they are or some of the themes until the writing is underway. But it's this, really, I sit in the studio in my backyard and have a, you know, 2-year conversation with myself about something that matters a great deal to me. And that feels like a huge privilege. So yes, that's one of the great things about fiction, is I get to explore this question and dig down into it and, you know, come to some conclusions and resolution for myself.
And one of the things you are, it seems, trying to decide here is Anna's decision in any way correct? She's next to this horrible circumstance, but it's still a morally ambiguous situation. Kidnapping's always going to be hard to justify, no matter the risk you see.
Yeah, has she done the right thing? That's the big question, isn't it? Has she done the right thing? You know, it's basically vigilantism, what she's done. And it is the question that I asked myself all the way through, and I'm still asking myself, to be honest. I don't have a definitive answer to that. I know that if I were Anna and didn't have children and was living next door to a child in such dire situation as Charlie in the book, I think I probably would really seriously consider doing that. I might not keep the child away as long as Anna ended up doing. But I think I would really think about it. You know, perhaps there are times when it's appropriate to break the law, because, of course, that's what she did.
Anna's motivations really do seem complex as we go through the story. Of course, she's worried about Charlie, but it's all tangled up in her own childhood, her own background. Was it important not to make her just a crusading white knight?
Yes, look, I felt like I had to understand why she'd made this, you know, quite huge decision, because she throws away her job, she throws away a burgeoning relationship, she leaves her rented home and all her possessions. She just abandons her entire life for this child that she really doesn't know very well at all. So, you know, there would have to be a fairly powerful motivation apart from saving the child. And so, yes, I did want to be clear in myself that there was a sort of powerful inner motivation that she didn't really even understand at all at the point that she made the decision. And so she does have a fairly complex backstory, and she lost her mother when she was quite young and had a complex relationship with her father after that. So, yes, I really did want to make it credible that she would take this massive leap, because it's a huge leap to take.
Sarah, you never really allow us through the book to forget about Charlie's family, because for all the problems that are there, for all the abuse that is there, you still point to this connection between Charlie and her mother, Gabby. And Anna is asked, I think it's one of the most complex questions in the book, why didn't you rescue Gabby as well? Why didn't you take the mother with you when you ran away?
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted it to sort of come upon Anna as a bit of a bolt out of the blue when she's asked it. And, you know, it's a very complex question. I mean, children, when they are taken from parents, even abusive parents, you know, by and large, still want those parents, still ask for those parents. And likewise, Charlie's mother, Gabby, was only, you know, in her 20s. She was young and she was in an abusive relationship. So there was also someone else needed rescuing, and Anna didn't rescue her as well. And I think it was a very legitimate question she was asked. Why didn't you also rescue the mother? Her response was, she wouldn't have come with me and there's no way I could have bundled her away. And I think that's true. But she didn't stop to consider the mother's situation. She just considered the child, and I think that revealed more about her and her motivations than anything else.
For all of the very heavy things we're talking about here, this is a book of healing in a way as well, because Charlie, taken away from that abusive relationship, is given a chance to almost learn to be herself in a separate situation. And part of that is the setting. Mullumbimby's been this continuing presence in your book. What's the narrative pull of the place? Is it a place of healing for you as well?
Byron Bay and Mullumbimby area is, you know, they jokingly talk about it, you know, up here as, you know, the place of healing and so on. And certainly you can, you know, find pretty much any healing modality on the planet here. I mean, I wouldn't say it's so much a place of healing for me, but the landscape itself, which, as you say, features in all three of my novels, I find incredibly powerful, and it exerts a real influence on me. And that's a kind of dramatic tool I can use. I can use that landscape to exert itself on my characters. And because Anna brings Charlie up to this area, this sort of subtropical rainforest wet area, it allowed me to give Charlie that, you know, experience of being in nature, the healing of nature. And though writing those scenes of her in the bush and down at the creek and with the other kids was really a great tonic after writing some of the earlier scenes. I didn't want to write gratuitous violence, but I had to write a bit in order for Anna's decision to seem plausible. So it was really lovely to be able to come back to writing about the most amazing landscape up here. And you're right, it's a story of healing. In a way, it's a love story between Anna and Charlie. You know, Anna really falls in love with this girl, this girl she, you know, didn't know when she put her in the back of her car. And I really did enjoy writing about the hills, I have to say. I love this landscape.
One of your other characters describes Charlie's situation as violence is in every second of her life. It affects how she thinks about everything and everyone. And one of the things it seems Charlie needs to learn to do is to let that go, or to be given the space to set that violence aside. It seems you paint the violence of abuse as a very consuming thing.
And I'm sure it is. I haven't experienced it myself, but I did quite a lot of research in as I wrote it. You know, spoke to a lot of people who'd worked with children who'd been abused and spoke to adults who'd been abused as children. And, you know, it clearly is completely consuming to feel forever vigilant and not safe. And, you know, it's probably not plausible, really, that in 3 months Charlie would really relax and let go of that. But, you know, I wanted to show some healing for her and some trust, some development of trust. So, yeah, I mean, I think absolutely that kind of violence is completely consuming for children. And, you know, that it's something, it's been quite difficult in a way writing this book to immerse myself in that world. And I have a child myself, and to, you know that there are children in my community, you know, right now who are not safe, who are living with that just hypervigilance and fear. Of violence, you know, it was incredibly difficult. And I think writing a character who takes decisive action was healing for me in a way, and, you know, really made me think about my responsibility for the children around me, you know, not my child, but the other children around me. What's our responsibility just as members of the community for the kids around us? And I've done a lot of thinking about that, and it's really sort of changed some of the ways I interact with people around me, or even just sort of perceive them, to have more sense of a communal responsibility for the kids around us.
Is then that part of the answer? Because you look at, in the book, and I imagine from your research, the flaws in the institutional system, the chronic under-resourcing. Is the answer just more resources, or is it for you building more of a community connection between people?
I think it's probably both. I mean, I'm certainly no expert on child protection, you know, policy and funding, but, you know, undoubtedly a great deal more could be put into funding not only child protection but sort of early intervention to identify children who might be at risk. But I think that, you know, a lot of people I spoke to, like caseworkers who'd worked in the area for decades, said that in a previous generation, there was a lot more informal care of children that went on just in the street or among extended family. There was a lot more informal care, and that was a bit of a safety net. And I think there's much less of that now. We're more isolated, we're much busier, and I think there's less noticing of the kids around us, less time to notice and care for the kids around us. And, you know, perhaps fear of speaking out, fear of getting involved. I think there's been a shift in that sense of communal responsibility. And I think, you know, that's just a small part of the picture. I think, you know, that's part of the picture. And then the, you know, agencies that take care of children are another part of the picture. And I guess I don't have any sway in that institutional sphere, but I do as a community member. I can do something at my level as well as, you know, write letters to politicians and so on. But I felt like from that place of just feeling helpless about how many children are at risk and enduring abuse, that I came back to, well, what can I do? You know, and apart from write a book exploring the issue for myself, that's where I can operate at that kind of community level.
Sarah Armstrong speaking with Sky Kirkham. And Sarah's latest novel is Promise. It's published by Pan Macmillan.